played that for you guys a couple years ago when I played here, one of the early times when I came, and it always kind of chokes me up when I play it. And I know you heard it just recently, because I was told that just last week somebody sang it for you, and I love that. It's a piece that has a great thought. We are all changed by each other. You want me to be by the mic? Sure. Sorry. Yeah, we're all changed by each other, and we all learn and grow from each other, and that song is very much about that. So I find myself interested to be here, first of all, because my grandfather was a minister, and I didn't ever think I'd give a sermon, and so the fact that this is called a sermon today is quite fun. And in addition, I'm not a teacher by training. And much as I admire people that go to school and learn this, I kind of learned as I went. And when I find new things, I love to share them with my students. And as I go along, I rather enjoy teaching. One of the things that came up was this inner game of tennis. I stumbled onto this. My son is a professional musician. He went to music school and got trained up the right way, I guess. And one of his teachers introduced him to the inner game of tennis. And the inner game of tennis is about tennis, not surprisingly. And it talks about, though, things that have to do with performance. And this is why they teach this in conservatory to budding musicians, because they're trying to help them learn how to get the most out of their ability to perform and to connect with their emotions. And the inner game of tennis is this idea that you have a thinker and you have a doer. And the thinker is actually critically important, because the thinker figures things out and can learn algebraic equations and how things connect. And it's really quite important that you have a thinker. And then you have a doer that actually does things. And the interesting part that they were recognizing in this book is that the doer is actually doing incredibly complicated things. Just to stand and walk across a room requires balance and requires moving a leg in just the right way to, you know, it's a tremendously skilled thing. And as professional musicians, and as budding musicians who are learning their skills, we find that the thinker often tries to talk while the doer is trying to do. And this can sometimes get in the way. And as I talked to Jay before when we came here, if the thinker just is entirely quiet, the doer can be quite frustrated, because the doer doesn't know what's going on. But the thinker needs to be quiet enough to let the doer do. And if you've done your homework and you've done your practicing, you can rely on that when it's time to do. And often I find this is similar to speaking. It's like if I think too much about what I'm going to say, it all locks up. And I have to kind of trust that I have something to say, and you're here to listen to me, and so it starts to flow. And so this thinker and doer is a really interesting thing to me, and I often talk to my students about it, because they're struggling to learn to read, and so often it's like, I've got to get both hands going this, and I just say, relax, you know how to do this, just stand back. And it's an odd sensation when it first happens, because when it first happens, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, it's happening all by itself, but I'm not doing anything, because that's literally the feeling. It's like often when I perform, it's a sense of just kind of letting go and trusting that my hands are going to go to the right place, and they do. And in fact, that's one of the things that struck me about teaching piano. And the reality is, if you can push a key down, you can play the piano. And so why do people take piano lessons? Well, it has to do with that slow development of connecting the heart and the imagination to your hands that takes a certain amount of theory. You have to understand how music works, so you kind of know which button to press. That's often what I joke with my students about. It's like, it's knowing which button to press. That's the trick of playing the piano. And of course, we spend a long time doing this. I'm always a little bit amused when somebody comes to me for a lesson, or maybe a new parent comes in, wants me to teach their child, and they think it's going to happen in a week or two. Like, I'm just going to somehow tell them what the trick is. And one of the things I love about teaching piano is it's a very long process. It's one of patience. It's not immediate gratification. And sorry. I don't know why that struck me so hard. Just gather myself. So you learn discipline, and it's helpful. So one of the great teachers was Mozart. And do you know that when Mozart taught, he played and his student listened? Because he realized he couldn't communicate the things that he wanted his student to learn by speaking. He could only do it for them. I shouldn't say do it for them, but he could only show them what he was trying to explain by his music. And so I think I'll use this moment to play you one more thing, and that may be helpful.
I also realized perfectly the last piece today, my long glasses.
That's one of my